This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Frank Proctor here, the sous chef of the garden. And I'm afraid we have to start out with some very sad news for you this morning. Charlie's father this past week passed away. If I remember correctly, he was 92 and was to have very shortly celebrated his 93rd birthday. So obviously, Charlie is at home taking care of things, and we wish her all the very best. And I know that you'll send condolences her way. And we've leaned on the support of one of our good friends, Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario, who at the last moment said, hey, yeah, I'll come and help you out, Frankie. So he's on the line with us from his home office. So let's say good morning, first of all, to Dennis Flanagan of Landscape Ontario. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Frank.
Nice of you to join me. Thank you very much in this kind of trying time to do this for us.
Yeah, I feel I sent my condolences to Charlie last night, and very tough news.
You bet. Well, okay, our job right now is to keep the show rolling along, in spite of all the sad news. That in mind, I should repeat a little mantra that we often give out here. Here are the phone numbers to reach, and in this case, we'll be talking to Dennis Flanagan. Okay, long-distance line, toll-free, anywhere in the province, 1-866-740-4740. Or if you're in the Toronto area, 416-360-0740. Call early, call often. One question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Carlos, our operator, know. And just before you get to the airwaves, there you are. You got to get your garden wings. Okay. Now, listen, just before we get going with the questions, and we ask the folks line up their calls as soon as you possibly can, let's talk a little bit about your company, the company you work for, Landscape Ontario. Give me a little thumbnail sketch of what your duties and what your company does.
Yeah, well, you know, Landscape Ontario is a not-for-profit organization. We have over 2,500 members across the province, so anywhere within your listening circle, there'd be a member or a garden center or an irrigation company. And our main job this time of year is education. So there's going to be lots of online courses during the winter that our members take part in. And that can be anything from business subjects to pruning to laying flagstone patios. Lots of education this winter.
Okay. And if folks are looking for someone to come and take a look at a tree, for instance, you've got good sources there to send them to the right folks, correct?
Absolutely. Just go to the Landscape Ontario website, and you can see. And what you do, Frank, is you punch in your postal code, and it'll bring up a selection of professional green professionals in your area. That can deal with tree problems, drainage problems, anything that maybe, and Charlie would actually be on that list with her company. Yeah.
Right, yes. Garden Solutions by Charlie Dobbin. You got it. Well, okay, look, we're going to take a little bit of a break here because we've got calls lined up already, but we can use more at all times. So in Toronto, give this number a call, 416-360-0740, or anywhere in the province, as I've mentioned, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And in moments, we'll return to get the advice of Dennis Flanagan of Landscape Ontario here on Charlie Dobbin's Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
About a million of Zoomer's 3 million readers say they have a keen sense of adventure. Are you one? Then read the latest issue of Zoomer Magazine and meet Wade Davis, the rock star explorer who's lived what most of us only imagine. Botanist, anthropologist, historian, and writer. As a youth, he was inspired by his travels on Colombia's Magdalena River and has returned there to write an amazing new book. Wade Davis, the inspiring cover story in Zoomer Magazine, on sale now. Zoomer Magazine, life empowered.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining both myself, Frank Proctor, and Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. Charlie Dobbin not here. Her dad passed away this past week. So obviously our condolences to her, and I miss giving her our traditional morning hug when we get together here in the studio. Anywho, we got a call in from St. Catharines, as a matter of fact, the Garden City. There's Barbara online. Good morning, Barbara. Say hi to Dennis Flanagan.
Hello. Morning, Dennis and Frank.
Hi. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah. Hey, Barbara. How are you?
Thank you.
I'm looking forward for a virtual hug from Frank this morning, actually.
Well, I might scratch you with this beard of mine, but...
I hope so.
What's on your mind this morning, Barbara?
Morning, Dennis and Frank again. So my question is... Should I be feeding flowering houseplants during the winter?
I didn't quite catch that. Did you, Dennis?
No. Feeding houseplants? Feeding houseplants.
Should I be feeding them during the winter?
Yes, it's as we go through the winter, we get lower light conditions, and it's not a bad idea every 10 days to 2 weeks. The secret is with fertilizing houseplants is to do it more frequently, but half the amount that they show you on the label. The reason for that is houseplants are obviously in a pot as opposed to out in the garden, and it's easier for the plant to take up a lower dose of fertilizer. So whatever fertilizer you're using, read the label carefully. I would suggest halving the dose, so it's probably a water-soluble solution that you're going to use, and do it that way. But, yeah, very important during the winter to keep some nutrition going for your houseplants, just like us. You know, we need to stay healthy, so houseplants are exactly the same.
Hey, thank you very much. I use the Miracle-Gro.
Thank you.
Okay? Good.
Thank you, Barbara, calling in on what now is turning out to be a very pleasant Saturday morning as I glance out the window here at Liberty Village with the sunshine prevailing at the moment. And looks like we're heading toward a high of about 6 degrees tomorrow. Dennis, even nicer, about 9 degrees expected on the way. So not bad for the latter part of the month, huh?
Big weekend for gardening. You know, this is the first weekend in December coming up. People are looking at buying holiday plants. Some people are going to get out there and buy the Christmas tree this weekend.
Right you are. And now, as we said goodbye to Barbara, that leaves not only one line, but a couple of lines open here. We can fill them up if you give a call now. 1-866-740-4740 from anywhere in the province, toll free. And then our line here in Toronto, 416-360-0740. But let's bob along to Brampton and say hi to Lynn, who's waiting on the line to ask you a question. Dennis, good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank
Lynn,
you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis. I have a question. I want to possibly move a tree.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, I can't tell you what kind it is, but I can tell you it has huge heart-shaped leaves. It has very large pods on it at the end of the season, and it has white flowers.
Right, so that would be a catalpa tree.
How do you spell that?
A catalpa, C-A-T-A-L-P-A, catalpa.
Okay.
Sometimes called the bean tree, because of those wonderful bean pods that are on, as you described.
Yeah, so it's about 5 years old. It's about 20 feet high. It's not that wide, like my hands, my fingers together.
Mm-hmm.
It only would be maybe 4 or 5 inches round.
Okay.
Okay. And it's in a very good place, and it's growing very well. I just, I'm thinking about moving it, and only because it's shaded by a maple tree.
Right.
On another property. So it doesn't have all the sun it should have. I'm just wondering if that, how difficult that would be, and if it's possible.
It's possible. It's given that how big the tree is, it's not an easy task. You might want to consider phoning a landscape professional or arborist to come and have a look at the issue. Mm-hmm. If you're going to try it yourself,
yeah.
You have to do it very, very soon, before the ground starts to get any colder.
Right.
The secret with moving a tree of that size is to decide where you're going to put it and pre-dig the new hole first so that the roots of that tree aren't exposed any longer than they have to be.
Okay.
So that's step number one. Step number two would be the old trick, a gardener's trick, is with a tree that size, you should be coming out three widths of the spade that you're using, the shovel that you're using. And that gives you an indication of how big the root ball has to be.
Now, the roots on that tree, would it be deep or would they just be ground level?
No, they'd be fairly deep. The secret is you are going to cut some roots. There's no question about that. So don't panic. That will happen. Those roots will quickly new roots will quickly come in the springtime. And the biggest problem, I think, with moving a tree that size is making sure that the existing roots that you dig up have a firm contact with the new soil, the new growth. And you do that, of course, by getting the heel of your boot, your gardening boot, your wellies, and go right away around that tree and make sure that you're stomping it in to make sure that root contact happens. The other thing that helps is to reduce the amount of leaves that are on the tree. Not that there's any leaves this time of year that they're dropping off, but at least we remove the overall branching. That way, it's when the spring comes, that tree is losing less moisture, less water into the air.
Would it be better to wait and move it in the spring?
I've got a coin on my desk here, and I'm going to flip it.
You're going to flip it.
and there it is. It came up. It came down on its side. So if Frank could use his crystal ball and tell us exactly what the weather is going to be like over the next 3 weeks, I'd say chance it. Do it now.
Yeah.
If indeed the weather's going to close in on us, I would be leaving that task till April.
Okay.
So I'm kind of leaning towards that answer, to be honest with you.
You never know from one day to another.
No, you don't. You don't. I mean, they do a good job at the in the weather reports on Zoomer Radio, but they're not always right. So
well,
I'd probably lean towards April at the moment. Follow all those steps. In the meantime, over the winter, think about having an arborist come in to at least look at the issue, look at the problem. And there's nothing like an on-site visit to really give you the confidence of what you need to do.
And Dennis, okay, just perfect. A clarification. When you ask an arborist to come out to your place, there's no charge for them to take a look and to offer advice. It's only when you employ their services, correct?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it depends on the company. Frank, some people will offer a free consultation.
Uh-huh.
Some people will charge. So it just depends on the area you live and the services that are available. The other alternative is to take photos of that tree right now and go into your local garden center.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be happy to give you some advice for free, too.
Okay.
Sounds good. Hey,
yeah.
Lynn, thank you very much for the question. And that will engender
and
a bit more conversation for us. All right. Thank you very much. We're going to take a little bit of a break now, Dennis, so you can just relax there in your home office, fill up the coffee mug, as I've done here. And we'll remind you that the phone lines are open. We are going to speak in just moments to Cheryl, calling in from Wasaga Beach. But the phone numbers here in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And, of course, the long-distance line, which is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. It's The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And in Charlie's stead this morning is Dennis Flanagan of Landscape Ontario. And on the line, waiting ever so patiently there, Wasaga Beach, is Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. Good morning. Hello, Cheryl.
I'm actually calling because I have serviceberry. Actually, I have two serviceberry bushes or trees. And in the spring, they start off, they're okay in the spring. Then they seem to get like a mildew on the leaves. Kind of reminds me of like a lilac as it goes, as the time goes on the lilac, they get that film.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, can I use dormancy spray in the spring? Would that help so that they don't get that?
Yeah, it will certainly help. It's a very, very common problem with serviceberries and lilacs. You're not alone, Cheryl. Lots of us, including me, get that. So two things. One, yes, the dormant spray, and make sure you're doing it before the leaves come out, hence the name dormant. That will help to look after any overwintering fungus or insects that are on the tree, on the bush. The real long-term solution is that mildew is that fungus, that white film, is due to two issues probably. One is drainage. So if you can improve the drainage around that tree, that serviceberry in any way, and that can be as simple as punching some holes in the ground around the root system and tipping in some sharp sand or vermiculite to allow the water to drain quicker. The other reason is shade, of course. If the plant is in deep shade, you're bound to get mildew issues. So those are the two reasons that you're getting it. You're on the right tracks for solving the issue with the dormant spray. The other important thing is, as those leaves, they probably dropped now on the ground, is actually pick up those leaves. Because if you leave them, that fungus can actually breed in the soil underneath the bush, underneath the tree, and come back and attack it, to attack the new growth next year. So following those little guidelines should help the issue.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl, for joining us here on Zoomer Radio AM 740 and in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, crystal clear. I'm Frank Proctor, and on the line from his home is Dennis Flanagan, sitting in for Charlie this morning. I'll let you know right off the bat, we got an absolute clear deck. If you have ever said, gee, I wonder when a good time would be to call and ask a question on The Garden Show, well, right now would be a perfect time, okay? And the numbers again in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And while I wait your phone calls, here's an email that was sent to Charlie a little while ago from Janet Taylor. And here's what she said in the email, Dennis. Subject, spruce trees and grasses. Short and sweet, what will grow under a row of 30-year-old Norway's blue spruce? She wants grass there, so can you offer any advice on that?
That's a great great question. The short answer is no, not normal grass will grow there. Sun-loving grass will struggle. So you can go to the garden center and buy what's called a shade mix, and that will often do quite well underneath spruce trees. There's two other issues, Frank, and that's one, how low the branches are on that spruce tree. I really don't recommend cutting those lower branches off. It can damage the tree, and it's not a good idea. So living with the lower limbs of the spruce tree is in my mind the way to move forward. If that shade grass doesn't work, then consider one of the shade loving ground covers that could work. I use a lot around my property. I have a lot of shade, and I use a lovely ground cover called Sweet Woodruff. And it just is a beautiful ground cover. Doesn't get too invasive, doesn't get too big, and I think would fit the bill underneath that lovely row of spruce trees.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. And I hope you take all that into account, Janet Taylor. Thanks for your question via email. Now, back to the phone lines we go. Mary, maybe just around the corner here in Toronto, on the line with a question for you. Good morning, Mary. Hi, Mary.
My condolences, you know, to Charlie.
Oh, thank you.
You hate to lose anybody, no matter what age it is, and closer to Christmas, the worse it is.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My question is this. I have two small, or like this teeny orchid, you know, the miniature ones in pots. Mm-hmm. And then I rescued, well, I didn't rescue, well, I sort of did from Home Depot, a bigger one, you know, like the regular size. Uh-huh. What I'd like to do, and I'd like to know, is can I combine all three in one pot? Now, the one that I rescued from Home Depot has one white flower still and a bud. You could see that's growing. The a black stalk. I don't know if I should cut it. It obviously is the second stalk. Mm-hmm. There's nothing on it. And on one of the teeny ones, the leaves are growing vigorously, and there's, I guess it's a root. It's a very strong, fat, gray root at, you know, at the bottom of the leaves. And the other one I might have overwatered. It's still hanging in there. It's not as vigorous. But I'm just wondering, because I found like one of those plastic pots that is bigger that would accommodate all three, but I don't know if that's possible. I've never been lucky with orchids.
Yeah, no, great, fabulous question. No, do not cut off any of those shoots. That's the lifeline. That's what an orchid does. It's called an epiphyte plant in nature. It grows up in, orchids grow up in trees, and those are aerial roots. So very important you don't cut them off.
I'm asking on the bigger one that has the black stalk that has nothing on it, that had nothing when I bought it.
Oh, no leaves or flowers or anything?
Yeah, that, I don't know if it had flowers. It probably had flowers.
Yeah. So that one I would isolate from the other ones, simply because if it is some sort of root rot or fungus, you don't want it spreading to the others. So try to dry that one out a little bit. And
That's what I've done. Well, I think this is why they were selling them off, is I think they might have been overwatered.
Yes.
Because there's one leaf that's very limp and yellow, but yet that one surviving flower with the one bud on the other stalk is doing fine.
Yeah,
I put it on newspaper, and I put it out in the sun to let it dry, and I think it's really coming along. But can I put all three in one pot?
Yeah, you know, you can. I tend to suggest that you cheat a little bit.
Okay.
So have the appearance of all of them growing in one pot, but keep them in their individual pots inside the larger container, and use something like a moss or pebbles to cover up the top, cover up the appearance, so it looks as if you've actually planted all three in the same container.
Maybe because it's fairly, you know, new, both of them, I mean, all of them are less than 2 years old. Okay,
yeah,
so that,
and the other reason is it's so much easier if one of them gets a problem, is to lift that separate pot out, deal with it, and then put it back in a couple of weeks. So yes, the short answer is you can have the appearance of all those orchids growing in the same container, but cleverly what you've done is just covered up the look of the smaller pots inside the big pots.
My question then is, why couldn't I, you know, like when you're repotting something, why couldn't I just repot the individual ones in their same medium in a bigger pot?
Yeah, you could. And, you know, if moving forward everything else is equal, they're all getting the same moisture, they're all getting the same light conditions, they're all staying healthy looking, then... You can do that. Make sure that you're using a orchid bark mix. The problem being, when you put those three plants into a larger container, there will be the tendency to overwater it, and that soil will stay too soggy for orchids. And so, make sure that you're getting a bag of orchid bark mix. And using that to plant all three in the same container.
Okay.
The good news is plants, they don't come under the social distancing rules that we do. So in actual fact, they love being planted close together and would make a nice wintertime project for you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm glad I spoke with you before I tried anything.
Yeah, thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mary, for joining us here on a Saturday morning from Zoomer Radio. Let's take a little trip, Dennis, up to Aurelia. Say hi to Lynn, who's on the line right now. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. I have a question that I'm sure is timely. I'm picking up big poinsettia today, and I'd like to know the very best way to take care of it so it looks beautiful for a full month at least.
Yes, you and many thousands of other people will be picking up poinsettias this weekend. And no better way to add some cheer to our house than that wonderful, wonderful plant. Question being, maintenance-wise, so even today, or even though the temperature is fairly nice, remember that those plants have been grown in a very nice, warm greenhouse. So the last thing that you want to do is expose them to any kind of cold breeze, any conditions. So make sure your car is warm. So leave it on for a couple of minutes before you load up the poinsettias. Make sure that when you're delivering them, if you're taking to other places, it's as quick as possible into the warm house, because the number one issue with poinsettias is cold drafts from windows or doors. So any way you can avoid that would be fantastic. Get that black plastic sleeve off as quickly as you can after you've got those poinsettias home. Inspect the plant closely. Remove any leaves that have turned brown, which they tend to at the bottom when they're in those plastic sleeves. Have a quick look on the underside of the leaves that there's, you know, there's no bugs, no mealybugs, aphids, set it in what we call mid or low light conditions. Ideally, an east window would be perfect, and sit down and give your poinsettia a drink, and why don't you have a drink as well?
Well, I'm all for that. A little red with my red.
There you go. Super
well,
stuff.
Thank you very much. I was thinking in terms of watering and whatnot, but that helped me a lot, especially removing it from the pot.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lynn, very much.
Holiday.
All right, and the same to you. Thanks for giving us a ring this morning and some super advice offered up by Dennis Flanagan of Landscape Ontario, subbing for our very own Charlie Dobbin. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a break here, Dennis. So, again, you can race off to fill that coffee cup up, and we'll come back and say hi to Pam, who's on the line from Brampton, in just moments here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Let me turn my mic on there. I'm so used to having Charlie do all this technical stuff here on the show. For those of you who might have tuned in a little bit late, the sad news is this morning that Charlie's dad passed away this past week. So instead of Charlie sitting here, we have online from his home, Dennis Flanagan of Landscape Ontario. And let's turn things over to a question in from Pam, who's listening in from Brampton, Ontario. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. This is my first time calling in.
Oh, well, just a minute. There you go, your garden wings. There you go. And what's your question?
Well, I have a Diplodania that I brought indoors for the winter because somebody just told me I could keep it over winter. But I don't. I've sprayed it with bug spray just in case it contained anything, and I don't know how much to prune it back.
That's a great question. How tall would you say it is now? How big is it now?
Well, it's in a pot, and it's overflowing the pot, and it was sending out shoots to an archway when it was outside. I cut off those pieces and brought it in as it is. It's climbing up a wire in the pot right now.
Sounds like you can have a jungle in any moment now. The secret with that that plant is to be quite harsh when you bring it in, actually. You'll see lots of new growth in the new year, so I would reduce it, actually, by probably 50%. Be quite harsh. Otherwise, what's going to happen is those long tendrils that you have now will get more stragglier because of the lower light conditions in our house. So that particular variety, if you can pick a window where it has good indirect sunlight, it will help the recovery. But cut it back by 50%, so it'll look a little bit full on for a few weeks, unfortunately. But patience pays off. And if you can do that, give it some fertilizer, some water-soluble fertilizer, and I think you'll find after the holidays in the new year, you'll see all sorts of new sprouts coming out. And then you can decide how you want to support those new shoots. You can either keep trimming them back throughout the winter months, or if you like the idea of getting an indoor trellis or indoor obelisk of some description to put in or over the pot, you can actually let those new tendrils grow up to, you know, 4 or 5 feet if you want.
Oh, no, because I'm going to put it back outside in the spring.
Ah, okay. So best to just keep it alive in that sunny window, fertilizer, and let it go. Let me withdraw that statement about the fertilizer. Let's talk about it going into what we call a semi-dormant stage, which would be very good for the plant. So let it rest a little bit, just like the animals have a dormant period during the winter. Do that, and don't expect a lot of growth or flowers in the winter. What you are, you're preparing it for planting outside next year. So semi-dormancy is the way to go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks for that question, too, Pam, joining us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. As we say goodbye there to Pam, leaves the line open at 416-360-0740 or anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Well, off we go to my hometown, London, Ontario, where Mike is on the line. Hi, good morning, Mike.
Oh, good morning, Frank. You guys are doing a good job.
Well, thank you.
Morning, Mike.
Hello there, Dennis. My condolences to Charlie and her family. I hope she can get everything taken care of, and I hope to hear her voice next week.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, I got a King Crimson. It's over 20 years old. It's roughly 15 to 18 feet tall. It's been losing leaves every year, and this year was the worst. It's got a 5 or 6 inch maybe diameter trunk. It's just out in the lawn. There's other trees around, maple, and there's a small walnut tree about 15 feet away. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should, you know, should I dig the ground up under it or throw a bag of poop under it? Or I really miss this bright red crimson tree.
Yeah, beautiful tree. And you want to do all you can to save that.
Yep, and there's just a little bit, there's some leaves. There was, at the end of this year, there was some leaves on the bottom on branches I had previously cut in other years. And on the very top, there was a cluster of leaves on one main branch. Besides that, the whole tree was leafless.
Oh dear, that doesn't sound good at all.
No, I know it's struggling hard.
Yeah, have you done anything about fertilizing up to now?
Not at all. Never fertilized anything. No.
So I think that would be the ticket. Come the spring. It's a bit late now, but come the spring, I think you've got to baby that tree a little bit. So when I say that, if you have any leaves, by the way, right now, I would rake them up and put them around the tree. It'll be a natural mulch, a natural fertilizer, and a way of protecting the roots for the winter. Do that right now. So if the weather in London is like it is in Toronto, it's a beautiful day to be outside.
Oh, Dennis, I could bury the tree in leaves. There's so many around.
Well, don't do that. A nice sort of 6 to 10 inch layer of leaves around and come out about 3 feet around the tree, and that will be a lovely way of mulching the tree for the winter. And then next year, what I want you to consider doing is buying some bags of fresh manure and putting it around the base and making what would look like a saucer around the trunk of the tree, so that when you put in some water-soluble fertilizer, and I would go with a high nitrogen fertilizer in the spring, by making that moat, by making that puddle around the base of the tree, it'll hold the fertilizer, hold the water solution, and so you're babying it a little bit. And
really good. And it was an extremely dry year in this area this year as well, and we don't water our trees or anything, so that's another reason it didn't do very well, because we had a real big long stretch of no rain at all.
Yeah. Do you collect any rainwater off the house in rain barrels or anything?
Rain barrels, yeah.
Yeah, good. So that would be a lovely tonic. Mix a little bit of gin in there. lovely tonic for that tree is to give it some of that well-deserved rainwater that you've collected. And, you know, maples are very hardy trees, and let's hope that this particular one is just reacting to the dry conditions, and by getting some well-deserved rainwater, some water-soluble fertilizer in the spring, let's hope you're going to see some new buds popping out next April.
Will do. Dennis, thank you for all the good advice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike, for joining us from London. Yeah, you bet. Take care, my friend, and God bless you for calling in. We're going to have to take our next little, and it's our final break, and we have folks waiting on the line to have a question shot your way, Dennis, Carol in Scarborough, and Eileen in Newcastle. So you folks hold on. We'll be right back here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And in our final little stretch here as we approach the 9 o'clock point, or pardon me, the 10 o'clock hour, let's go out to Scarborough, see what's going on there with Carol. Good morning, Carol.
Morning. First of all, my condolences to Charlie and her family.
Thank you.
And my problem is I have a 40-year-old Crimson King maple on my front lawn. Are you there?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Well.
And it has a gypsy moth infestation.
Ouch.
Yes, ouch. And what I've done so far is the egg colonies that I could reach, I sprayed them with Raid, and I burnt them off with a barbecue lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some of the caterpillars burrowing into the tree, which I burnt them and then dug them out. And that's all I've done so far. I had an arborist come, and he said there's really not much you can do unless you have it sprayed at the top. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Boy, that's number one. It's a big tree, so that's the issue right there.
Right.
So taking that arborist advice, I think is a good idea. It's all about timing. So if you're going to do that, you should be doing it early spring. Before those bugs have a chance to come out and spread through the tree. You've done well up to date. You've done very well how you've been treating it. The other thing to consider is a trap, like a moth trap. And I think if you go to your local garden center or visit a website called NIC, NIC, Natural Insect Control Products, they have some great traps that work on the pheromone scent smell of attracting those moths. So write that down. NIC, Natural Insect Control. You can go on their website, and they supply many, many garden centers with the type of products and traps that I'm talking about. So, do some research this winter. Get your timing right for the spring, and boy, that a 40-year-old beautiful tree like that is worth every effort that you can spend on it to save it. So
right,
yeah, that would so you've got a little bit of homework to do over the next couple of months. Nothing's going to happen. In fact, the cold weather is going to help by clearing out some of those insects. So that's a good thing. But we should be thinking about in Scarborough next April or so, thinking about a treatment.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carol.
Trap. Do you hang it in a tree, or
yes, you hang it. You hang it in the tree. Yep.
Yep.
And depending on the size of the tree, the people at Nick might suggest more than one trap. So
right.
That's worth a consideration. So okay. Yeah. And just as a sideline, if you haven't done any deep root feeding on that tree for quite a while. That's not a bad idea. It's like us. If we have an ailment or some sort of disease, if we take extra vitamins, extra food, then it'll strengthen the tree in general, which will help it combat any of those insects and diseases. So a deep root feeding, put that on the calendar for next April, and meanwhile, you can just put your feet up in the winter and enjoy life.
Okay, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
Thank you, and some sage advice offered up by Dennis Flanagan of Landscape Ontario, who has been in this morning to sit in for Charlie Dobbin. I'm Frank Proctor, and I thank you so very much for all the nice notes that folks have been sending along to pass along to Charlie at the passing of her dad. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to our last caller online there, Eileen. Hopefully you call in early next week, and you'll have a chance, hopefully, to talk to Charlie at that time. If I may, Dennis, I'd referred to my beard a little bit earlier this morning. I'd grown a full beard for Movember, and I want to thank a number of listeners. I can't name them all specifically because there are a number of listeners who donated to my cause. I set a goal of $3,000, and I'm absolutely delighted to tell you that I've raised $3,261 thus far. Monday will be the last day that I'll be having the beard. I can't wait for Tuesday morning to shave it off. It's itchy as hell. Anyway,
well done, Frank. Congratulations on raising those funds, and I'm so glad we're doing this remotely today. I'm at my office at home because I'm not sure I could be able to get your hugs and kisses with that beard on. So.
Well, thank you for those kind thoughts. Listen, you take care. Anything you wanted to pass along just as a final comment to folks who are, approaching, here we are, the last part of November, what folks should be thinking about right now in their garden?
Yeah, lots and lots of things to think about. You know, get outside. In my own garden, what I experienced with that heavy snowfall a couple of weeks ago, it split open several of my cedar trees. So I've been out there with some string, some binder twine, and tying those branches together. So look out for any snow or winter damage. It's certainly the season to cheer up your house, and we all need cheering up during these troubling times. Get out there and buy some Christmas plants, put them around the house. If you're like my wife, the Christmas song's already playing. So just enjoy life, and we will all, as the signs say, we will all get through this together.
You bet. Thank you very much, Dennis. Congratulations on a super show for us. Thank you. And have yourself a wonderful weekend, folks. Hope you'll join me tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, for BBSN, Big Band Sunday Night. And I'll be back this afternoon at 2 o'clock with a little bit of music for you to help you wend your way through a Saturday. Carlos, thank you for all your hard work, my friend. And we'll see you again next week here on Zoomer Radio.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.